Senate Agriculture and Veterans Budget and Policy Committee will come to order. First thing on the list, we're going to have Dion Mueller walk through the spreadsheets, and every one of his members should have a spreadsheet in his folder. Mr. Mueller, if you start out and go through it.
Mr. Chairman, there should be a two-page spreadsheet in your folder, or front and back, and this is just an overview of all the agencies the governor and with the governor's budget changes, and then what the total net general fund changes are across all the agencies. I'll go to that first. On line 44 of the table shows a net general fund change for this budget division with the governor's budget changes of $5.699 million. $4.7 million of that is through budget reductions, and then about $1 million of it is additional revenues coming into the general fund. So the net is less than $5.7 million, which is a reduction of about 3.4% of our general fund base in this area. Back to each agency, I'll go through, and then the department, especially the Department of Ag, will go into more detail of what their budget reductions are. Mine are sort of just at the summary level. Line 4, the Department of Ag's operating budget reduction is for the biennium, $770,000. They have grant reductions of $255,000. Ethanol, they're proposing a reduction in ethanol payments of about $1.676 million, and that would just be one time, would not carry into the tails. Line 7 is just more for accounting purposes, extending the time period of when they can spend the next-gen grant money. That is a carry-forward from previous biennium. So the net effect of the changes for the Department of Ag is a $2.7 million general fund reduction, or about 3.7% of their total general fund budget. Another thing that the governor is proposing to do on line 8 is permanently enacting the governor's unallotments from the summer. And right now, the unallotments only apply to fiscal year 10 and 11. What the governor is proposing is for the legislature to enact those unallotments, meaning they would be made permanent, and then they would have a reduction to the Department of Ag's budget into the next biennium. And the effect of that is a $984,000 reduction in the next biennium. Next, on to the Animal Health Board. The governor is proposing a $228,000 reduction. That is about a 2.2% reduction of their total general fund amount, and that reduction would be proposed to be made permanent. The next area is the Agricultural Utilization Research Institute. The governor is proposing a $1.8 million budget reduction to them, which is about just under a 32% reduction to AURI. And then again, would be a pretty big cut to them in the base level in the tails. It would be about half of their funding into the tails would be reduced. Department of Military Affairs, there's no budget changes recommended for them. Department of Veterans Affairs, now the governor had some other changes that dealt with the veterans' homes, but we're not tracking that in this committee. So the only change that we have that we're counting in this budget division is the governor is proposing some additional spending for the military honor guard of $100,000 in fiscal year 11. And then that would be made a permanent funding program into the tails. Again, on line 41, you'll see there's a total general fund reduction between all these agencies of $4.75 million. You get the additional $100,000 of new spending. And then the revenues we'll cover on the next page, but most of these comes from the one-time transfer of money from the agricultural fund into the general fund. That would just be a one-time transfer just to help offset our bottom line. But the department, and so we'll go to the next page and see how that works. On page two, well, the department is also proposing one new spending item in the ag fund, which is, I'm sure they'll cover when they go through their budget, a $35,000. This would be a collection of either a new fee or increased fee, and then an expenditure for, I'm just calling it the tree care company fee, and we'll let the Department of Ag explain what that budget proposal is. They also want on line 51 extend the timeline for when the ag fertilizer grants can be offered and spent. We authorized these last year, and they wanted to extend the amount of time that these grants can be spent. On line 50, then the last part of this table are the revenue changes, and this is where the governor is proposing that on line 64, about just over $1 million of agricultural fund money, and then on line 69, $12,000 of special revenue fund money be transferred to the general fund for a total of $1.046 million. And that, again, would just be a one-time transfer of money that would help offset the bottom line. So this is basically, they do this so they don't have to make another $1 million general fund reduction somewhere. This is only one time, just one affect the ongoing budget. So, is there any questions on that?
No questions. Is there any questions on the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on the Honor Guard program that these are doing away with? Reason I ask that, if there's no more questions on the veterans, then the veterans people here can. There's no need for them to stay anymore because we're going to go right into the Ag Department. So, if there's no questions of the Department of Veteran Affairs, then the thing. You have a question? Come on up. No? Okay. Well, thank you very much for showing up, and we're not done yet. But we're done so far, but not all the way done. Thank you very much. Then we'll move right into the Ag Department. First, I'm going to ask, is somebody from the ORI board here? Come up. We need to figure this is a big chunk of the money. Ms. Spaeth, welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
What about it?
Mr. Chairman, we just found out about this on Monday. We weren't consulted, so I don't know how to answer a question. What about it? This would be obviously a severe detriment to our operations. But like I said, this was not something that we planned or submitted a plan for or were consulted on.
Dan, how much are we cutting from the ARI?
Mr. Chairman, the governor has proposed, at least in the current fiscal year, a $382,000 reduction, but more importantly would be the next year's reduction of $1.4 million, and that would be made permanent. So it would be taking about half of their state appropriation next year and ongoing. So it would put them back to the low funding levels they were at about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, before we increased it again. So I guess one of the questions that I think maybe I've had when I looked at this, is there any chances of losing any federal funds because we wouldn't have matching funds or anything like that?
At this point, we've just started submitting our applications for the USDA.
Yes.
Okay. And so, like I said, we haven't had a lot of time to plan or to react to something like this because we just found out ourselves. And so we don't have a plan or anything other than to say, obviously, we just ramped back up after having been cut 4 years ago, you know, funding was restored to partially restored in 2007, and we've hired staff and ramped back up. And please remind the entire committee how important renewable energy, bio-based materials, food are to our economic recovery and to rural communities. And we've had those resources in rural communities, and this would obviously, half of our funding would have a tremendous impact on what we do for the state.
Members, in this space, Tuesday, we're going to be continuing. Today, we're just listening, and we'll give you some chance
certainly
between Tuesday to come up with some suggestions, or we'll toss this around between our members. And any other questions, Ms. Spaeth? Senator Ismay?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And also on Tuesday, could we get an idea of what types of programs that are being funded and where we might lose federal dollars if we don't complete those? Is that part of what you're asking for? Thank you.
Okay, members, thank you very much, Ms. Spaeth. And just remember, Tuesday will be the day.
Okay.
Anybody here from the Animal Board of Health? Come up. Dr. Hartman, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, my name is Bill Hartman. I'm the Executive Director of the Board of Animal Health and the State Veterinarian. Would you like just a description of what the budget is for the board? Okay. Well, thank you for the opportunity to discuss the recommendations for the Board of Animal Health for the governor's supplemental budget. The recommendation is for a 3% reduction in the board's operating funds. This would amount to $87,000 for the remainder of this fiscal year, 2010, and $141,000 per year through 2013. The way we would manage those reductions is by eliminating some planned software upgrades to our computer systems, reducing selected staff by attrition, so we have some people that are on close to retirement age, and we would look at not replacing some of those people. And then finally, reducing the testing we're doing for avian pneumovirus. And that's a disease that we've essentially eliminated from the turkey producers in the state. So that would be timely. That was funding that we appreciate that you provided to us. It was a very successful program at getting rid of a severe respiratory disease in turkeys. The other thing I would say is I'd just like to thank this committee, the chairman and this committee, for the funding that you provided to the Board of Animal Health in 2008 session. That money was provided to us for our campaign on bovine tuberculosis, and I'm happy to report things are going very well with that. I see Senator Scowie here, and he'll be interested to get an update on the TB program. We really had three goals with the TB program. The first was attaining split state status. That was important, so we relieved some of the restrictions that producers down in the southern part of the state had for no particular reason. And that was granted in October 2008. So we got that done, relieved some of the pressure back then. Then because of that, because we're maintaining two zones in Minnesota, we have to have strict movement controls in place for that particular area up in northwestern Minnesota, and we've gotten that done. That's something that we will continue to do over the years until we completely eliminate the disease. And then the last was to eliminate infection in cattle and restore the state to TB-free status. Well, the good news is we haven't found an infected cattle herd in over a year. So the news is all good that way. The DNR did find one infected deer this year in the surveillance they're doing up in the area. So we're not done, but it's pretty good news. The other good news is we had a review by USDA of our program. So they sent six people here for a week to look at our program and see if it was effective, and we were doing what we told them. They were very happy with the program, and at the end of their exit interview, they talked to us about how could we upgrade our statuses that we have right now. So we're in discussions with and preparing with USDA to upgrade the status of both regions of the Minnesota, both the MA zone up there, which would go to MAA, and then the rest of the state, the majority of the state, would go to TB-free. And we're hoping we can have this done by October. That's the timeline we're working on. I want to say that there's a lot of work still to be done with TB. We're not done with it. We made good progress, but we need to keep at it. And these reductions that are proposed for the board would not impact our TB program. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Senator Scoia, you've been kind of leading this. Is it? You have a question? Or?
Well, I did write a few notes down here. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Dr. Hartman, the deer that was found positive, was it my understanding that that was an older deer that was in the that age group of one that probably was in, we've been kind of theorizing there might have been a one-time infection time period, and they were from that same age class? Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and Senator Scoia, just about. It ruined the theory a little bit that we were only finding infected deer in this core area, this 140 square mile area, because it was about 2 miles west of that core area. But it was still within the management zone, and that's the area where we did the cattle herd buyout and the fencing project. So it's still in the area we would expect. It was a four-year-old buck, so tampered, or was it three? I can't remember, but it was not within the age range where it was alive in 2005, so it was slightly over that. It still doesn't appear that there's considerable transmission in the deer, though, because it was an older buck, and we still did have TB-infected herds when that buck was born.
Thank you, Dr. Hartman. It's, you know, if you guys are able to get us back to TB-free and the vast majority of the state and get the upgrade in this management zone by October, that would be very good.
Any other questions? Senator Scoia, I'm sure we'll be watching this in case an outbreak comes so we can figure out a way to get some money.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you know, this we've had some good news on this, and let's hope it continues, because it would be hard to deal with the issue as we were able to so aggressively under these hard financial times.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Dr. Hartman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to ask Quinn Cheney and Steve Ernest to come up. And they're going to present the department's budget. Members, if you look in your packets, you should have a sheet that's a lot of yellow markings on it. That's what they were going to go in with. And also the fact sheet that's getting passed around. So we'll look at that. Before we getting this too far, members, I'm reluctant to take any money away from the Ag Department, but I have no choice. We have to be part of the problem that the state is in. So we'll try to do the least harm we possibly can. I probably won't touch veterans. We'll have to go into Ag part and see what we can do there. But we'll discuss that. This is just for discussion today. We're not making any major moves yet, but we just want to be sure the other committees that we're more than willing to do our share. That's whatever it takes to get us through this difficult time. So, Quinn Cheney or Steve Ernest, who wants to be first?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Quinn Cheney. I'm the legislative director at the Minnesota Department of Agriculture. And you should be getting a fact sheet handed out to you with the department's logo on it that says the MDA Supplemental Budget Proposal for 2010 and 2011 Biennium. And it's a verbal description, it's a written description of with a little more than just the numbers for for all of the reductions that were in the governor's budget proposal. So I'll just start with the first one at the bottom of the operating reductions. $260,000 from the compliance information system for the dairy and food division. $60,000 in 2010 and $200,000 in 2011. And this proposal would basically postpone the transition of our meat and food inspectors from a paper-based to an electronic inspection compliance system. The compliance inspection system was put in place in the governor's budget in 2007, and we've completed the transition for the pesticide and fertilizer division to this paperless electronic system, and we're nearly complete in transitioning our dairy inspectors. This budget reduction would simply postpone that transition for our meat and food inspectors over from paper-based to paperless electronic system. And under this proposal, we would eliminate one contract programmer. The next item is from the lab, the food inspection section of the laboratory, $75,000 reduction. And this would just be reassigning one laboratory technician who's associated with food inspection analysis from the general fund to dedicated funding sources. The next item is in the plant protection division, the plant pest survey. This is a survey that we do throughout the state, and last year it was recommended for elimination in the governor's 2009 budget and for a savings of $200,000 a year. Ultimately, in the conference committee, the legislature decided to reduce the scope of the survey and reduce the budget by half, so that we would just survey the northern part of the state. And in the unallotment, an additional $13,000 per year was unallotted from the survey efforts, which resulted in the shortening of the survey season by a week. So this recommendation would eliminate that plant pest survey entirely. The next item is $170,000 from the Plant Protection Division's Gypsy Moth Program. And this proposal would scale back the general fund support for the surveillance of gypsy moth in Minnesota. Under this proposal, we would also seek additional support for survey activities from federal sources, and this would result in approximately 3 seasonal staff reduction in 2010 and 10 seasonal staff reduction in 2011. And we would still continue all of our efforts on invasive species, invasive pests such as emerald ash borer as well. The next item is $129,000 from the Ag Development and Financial Assistance Program. And under this recommendation, we would eliminate program administration funding for one staff person under the Ag Pest Management Practices Program. And this is currently an unfilled position. We would also eliminate $32,000 from the Commissioner's Office. That would be one FTE. And under non-operating reductions, the governor's budget proposes to eliminate $1.76 million from the ethanol producer payments. This is a 6.9% reduction, and it's in deficiency payments only. It would just defer the deficiency payments for a little bit longer. We only have one ethanol plant that's still receiving producer payments. It's approximately $500,000 left in regular payments, and the rest is payment of those deficiencies. Then finally, we have $255,000 from all other grant programs, and I guess this is when it would probably be more convenient to switch to that spreadsheet that you also have.
Mr. Chairman, Steve Ernest, Financial Management Director at the agency. Just backing up one item, I just wanted to remind members, we handed out last week the one-pager on the ethanol payments, and so the effect of that cut would be to bring the two bars for 2010 and 2011 down and then add that amount to the final year, 2013. They would get their money that final year of the deficiency payments. And then on the other grants, I guess we can start toward the bottom of the first page on the yellow shaded sheet. The yellow shaded lines are the grant programs. And so this sheet also was handed out last week, and the last set of columns last week was the 3 and 6%, 3% on the operating and 6% on the non-operating, which is basically the grants. to for reference, and then now I've added the final set of columns to show what is actually in the governor's recommendation. If you go down two-thirds of the way down, you see the ethanol payments line, the $821,855,000, and then just below that is the group of the other grant programs that we have. The first one is the county fair grants. We made the whole payment for this year, so we have nothing to cut this year, but that would be 6% of the 2011 appropriation. And then $1,000 from the Livestock Breeders Association grant, $3,000 from the grant to the Northern Crops Institute, $1,000 from the grant to the Horticulture Society, $4,000 each year from the grant to the Turf Research Council for ongoing turf research, and then there's a second grant under that to them for native plant research associated with the energy projects, using native plants for those, $3,000 each year from that. And just to remind you what the original amounts were, that's the second set of columns from the left. That's titled Conference Committee. So, for example, that grant is $50,000 a year, and then it would be cut by $3,000 a year. We have grant contracts with those people, and we would just have to amend those contracts down for those reductions. Mental health grant money through the Minscu system would be cut by $6,000. Milk grants through the Second Harvest Heartland Organization for providing food shelf milk would be cut $28,000 the first year and $30,000 the second year. The one-time farm-to-school program through the U of M would be the contract would be amended from $60,000 to $56,000. And then the AGRA program, the livestock grants that were awarded last year, the $1 million would be cut by $60,000. We would reduce grants by that amount. And then the dairy development program, $20,000 the first year and $30,000 the second year in the dairy teams, and $3,000 the first year and $5,000 the second year in direct grants. Minnesota Ag Education Leadership Council, which is housed at the U, it's its own statutory entity. Their grant would be cut by $15,000 in the second year. And then I guess I would just refer you to the other column or the other lines, which just summarize what Ms. Cheney has already said. The pesticide fertilizer management division, the first box up there, we don't have a cut in. The plant protection division is the elimination of the plant pest survey and then the reduction of the gypsy moth program. Dairy and food division is the computerized licensing or computerized data system. Inspection system, and then the lab, 25 and 50, and then the ADFAD Ag Development Financial Assistance Division is a reduction, as Ms. Cheney said, in the administration for the Ag Best Management Practices program, primarily. And finally, on the back, the one an administrative position from the administrative divisions for $32,000 cut for the biennium. And I calculated this as a 3.4% relative to our original base. So that's why the number is different from Mr. Mueller's 3.7%. I was just trying to be consistent across all the columns here. The vetoes and unallotments were 1.4, and then and the conference committee was already 8.4% below the base. So this would bring us to 13.2% relative to the base, less than the base general fund would have been. And the Ag Fund is a one-time transfer, as Ms. Cheney and Mr. Mueller said. One-time transfer of fund balances, there's a variety of fee-for-service accounts in that fund, obviously, and the fees are paid for services, and they're largely inspections and licensing activities. So we're always trying to keep our costs under control. There may be some expenditure reductions we can try to build in, but primarily that's just looking for the balances that we can at this time send to the general fund to help that situation out, and as we collect fees in the future, build the balances back up for the unexpected needs involved that fund funds. I would just point out that, for example, one of the accounts, the dairy services account, is an ongoing cooperative account between the general fund and the dairy fees that the dairies pay. We expect the dairy activities to pay a fee for their inspections and things, but we don't expect that to cover the whole cost of, you know, the chain where dairy products flow through it. So general fund and fees in that instance and in others are in partnership, and so it's not always a simple matter of paying the exact dollars to cover the service that program receives.
Senator Skye.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I missed Mr. Mueller's presentation, so I guess I'm going to get to talk to you about this fee for service transfer. I was listening to your explanation there, but you said this is fees for services, and how are we going to explain to the dairy farmer that his fees that he's paying for his inspection service are being transferred into the general fund? I'm not exactly sure that makes sense to me.
Mr. Chairman, the fund is referred to as fee-for-service. It's not all completely that simple. Like I said, in that way, the dairy program in general is considered to be subsidized by the general fund already. Another example, the Ag Chemical Response and the ACRA account is essentially an insurance account where they pay a surcharge to have money available in case spills happen. So that we want to build up a big balance just in case, and the statute sets the target as a $5 million balance that we should have in there in case these spills happen. But we never know when they are going to happen. And so that's another case where it's not exactly a fee for service. Not every one of these is a fee for service. And when the February forecast comes out, you will get a fresh copy of the Ag Fund Statement, which has a page for each account. It explains the statute, the use, the source, and the use, and that. So that would be the best time to review those. There's a current copy from the November forecast that should be available to you, too.
Well, Mr. Chair, so the fees weren't too high. You were building a reserve in this ACRA account or whatever in case there's a spill. Is it built beyond what you need that you feel you should take some of it out now? Or I'm not exactly sure I understand the rationale for that.
Mr. Chairman, I think the part of the rationale is just a broader. The amount was calculated as a 3% reduction relative to the expenditures from the fund to sort of mirror the reduction to the general fund and try to reduce the cost of those programs. As I said, we have limited amount of reductions we can take since we're trying to cross-train inspectors, for example, and create as many efficiencies as we can. No, by statute, we're not allowed to significantly over-recover. We do have some balances, though. We can't run it at right down to the wire every year. And a 3% margin, we felt, was something the fund could bear at this extreme time.
And Mr. Chair.
Senator Skye.
These are not dedicated accounts, then?
They are dedicated, Mr. Chairman and Senator. So the transfer would not withstand those individual dedications.
Well, I think members would have to take a little longer look at this part of the proposal and see where that goes. If it's a dedicated account that's being funded by fees that individuals are paying for what they're viewing as services. We better take a little look at that part of the proposal, I would guess.
Well, Senator Scoy, it's an information more than anything. Dan, Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Scoy, just to go back to my spreadsheet, the amount that they plan on doing this transfer of, it's just over $1 million. It's about, from the Ag Fund, it's $1,034,000 and a little bit, $12,000 from the Special Revenue Fund. And when the governor's budget came out, and as Mr. Ernst still has talked about, it's at the fund level, and they really haven't specified which account or how they would take this million from, or if it'd be done proportionally across all the accounts. And I also will add that this is be the same budget cutting exercise is being done in a lot of other agencies in the governor's budget, like in the DNR. They've done the same thing with the Natural Resources Fund. Within the PCA, a couple of their funds, they've done the same thing. They've reduced. Actually, in some of those other agencies, they actually had reduced spending, take the money, and then transfer it over to the general fund. What is being done here in the Department of Ag, they're not showing any reduction in spending tied to this $1 million yet. Maybe that depends on which account, I guess, they would take it from, or they would have to raise a fee maybe to make up for it again. So this same budget process is being done, is being proposed by the governor and in a lot of other agencies. So it's $1 million here. It's without doing this, it's another $1 million general fund cut we'd have to make somewhere else. So,
well, but Mr. Chair and committee members, and you know, maybe to the commissioner and Mr. Mueller, but this is a one-time operation that's going on, and we have the structural imbalance that we need to strive to bring into balance. And the more that we do these one-time things, we can skate. I mean, if we have learned anything over the last number of years, is that skating along on one-time money doesn't work very well in the long term, and we're going to have to figure out and try to bring this thing back in balance. So, you know, maybe if we can help us, but it's got to come from somewhere over the long term.
Right. And Mr. Chairman, I'll note, too, that there's this one-time transfer of funds and the reductions to the ethanol payments that the governor's proposing is also one time. So their savings in the tails over this budget division is actually less in the current. So they're showing a $5.699 million savings in the current biennium, but only $5.2 million out into the tails. So it's doesn't do a whole lot, at least, to help with the ongoing budget deficit either.
Follow up, Senator Scoy?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Well, members, I just come from a meeting a little earlier, kind of the same thing. Senator Anderson's questioning why we charge a fee for this and that, and so we'll be looking at this whole situation. But before we get too far, you know, I've pushed very hard for food safety, and I'm not going to take away inspectors. We need that food inspected. I'm sure Senator Dill would agree with me, Senator Scoy. Are these cuts going to hurt? They're going to hurt. Any cut's going to hurt, but I'm talking about the safe food. If I want to buy milk, I want it to be inspected. If I want to buy cheese, I want it to be inspected. Anything I buy, I want somebody to inspect it. I don't care about the cost, because if you get sick, you'll be more than willing to pay a little fee. Quinchenny, can you help me through that?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. I think when Commissioner Hugesson was here last week, he talked a little bit about how when we went through the exercise for this budget cycle, we really did look pretty closely at what our mission was and trying to protect all of the programs that are related to food safety and inspection. And I think that the programs that we've reduced here will not, I'm confident that they won't impact our ability to provide, to protect the food safety in Minnesota.
Senator Laurie, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to make the point that, yes, we've seen this in every committee I've been to, the same thing. We sat all morning through Health and Human Services and listened to all the Department of Health boards social workers, psychologists, psychiatrists, you know, rating the funds that, that are fee-based funds to support their particular scope of practice, and they're all taking a hit, and we're engaging in this very same conversation, and I think every single committee that's going over the governor's budget. So it is something that we do need to be very cognizant of and take a good look and have a discussion.
Well, we won't be making any decisions today, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention, just like the other committees are doing, mm-hmm. so we get a hands up on it. Next Tuesday we'll maybe get into more complete details, give you time to think about it a little bit. Any other questions? Senator Erickson Robes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have just a general question, and I came in a little bit late to the presentation, so maybe I miss it, but are most of these cuts we're looking at general across the board equalized cuts, or has there been any prioritizing within the departments to say this is an essential program or service and we're going to cut it at a different rate than another one? And in particular, I was just had that same question about some of the grants. Did they all get just equal across-the-board cuts in terms of percentage reductions, or were they prioritized in any way? Because related to what Senator Vickerman's talking about, you know, gosh, if you have to prioritize anything, I think buying milk for people who are being laid off and more people needing to visit food shelves, we've seen those numbers explode. Have any of those grants been prioritized?
Mr. Chair, Senator, the grants portion of our reductions was an across-the-board decision. Every one of those grants got cut by an equal 6% of the spending that was still available, except for the ethanol producer payments, which were reduced at a 6.9% level. You asked, however, about the rest of the budget, and I guess I would highlight that it's not the rest of the budget is not a 3% reduction of our operating costs. We did make an effort to look very carefully so that we could avoid reductions to programs related to food safety and inspections, which is why we really tried to evaluate what our core mission was at protecting the food supply. And programs, for example, like the Gypsy Moth Treatment Program, while it's a valuable program, it's not core to the mission of protecting our food supply. So, I mean, those were the kinds of decisions that we made and the discussions that we had.
Any other questions? Members, I would ask that you keep these sheets in your file because we'll be working on those.
Mr.
On
Chair?
On Tuesday, we're going to... Any other questions before I make the announcement?
I just wanted to talk about one other piece of our budget which wasn't listed on the spreadsheet, which is, if I have the opportunity, we do have in our budget an arrest the pest proposal. I know there's been a lot of attention around the emerald ash borer and its arrival in Minnesota and in particular Twin Cities. And one further aspect of the governor's budget is to create a new fee within the tree care registry so that I know perhaps a lot of you have received those flyers on your doors advertising people, nursery care providers that want to come out and inspect your trees for emerald ash borer. The nursery care industry came to us and said that they want to make sure that that we have good providers, tree care people in Minnesota, and they asked us to implement a new registry. So we'll have a new fee that is one fee for their participating in the registry and then a larger voluntary fee for them to be certified so that they can kind of use that as an advertisement for their own credibility. Other aspects to this are carried in the DNR budget. There's a $2 million in the governor's bonding recommendations. I think that was changed to $3 million in the bonding bill that passed, and that's for the shade tree program for reforestation efforts on public lands. Also, in the Environmental Trust Fund, the governor proposed to create a $1 million revolving loan account, and Bob Meyer could explain that a little bit more, but that program would be to make loans to local units of government so that they can carry on emerald ash borer control efforts in communities as well. And then finally, the Department of Commerce currently has the authority to inspect and enforce provisions on firewood labeling, both MDA and DNR are the ones with inspectors that are regularly out in the fields interacting with firewood retailers, and so the budget will extend that that authority to MDA and DNR for use so that our existing inspectors can also do that inspection and enforcement.
Any questions from the committee? Okay, members, we'll meet next Tuesday. In the meantime, you'll have a chance to put some questions together if you have any. If anybody would like to testify, we're not going to take any testimony today, but we'll do that Tuesday. And I'd ask that you would contact our committee staff so we could get your name on the list so you can get this to members. We got a tough decision to make. Not easy to make any cuts, especially when I'm a farmer. I can't take any from veterans. We only leaves us one option, because we have to look at the ag budget. We'll do our part. And I expect every other agency to do their part, too. Not just us. So if there's not any more questions, then we'll be adjourned till next Tuesday. So is it going on?